Well, we're excited today to kick off our new series, Who is the Holy Spirit? How many want to know everything there is about the Holy Spirit for your life? Some of you are like, I don't know yet. We'll find out. Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I understand that some of you have been taught before you came to church. Maybe we have people who come from all different denominational backgrounds here at Destiny. We got people who come from Catholic and Presbyterian and Baptist, some Pentecostal, some haven't been to church ever. And so we have a great mixture of people here. And some people say, Pastor, I think I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. I think I want to, but I'm just not quite sure. I've always been taught maybe to keep that at an arm's distance. And today, this, I believe, is one of the most important series that I've ever done at Destiny Church, and I did it a few years ago, and today we're going to do it again. I believe it's called Who is the Holy Spirit? And I believe it's so powerful in your life. I believe that it's one of the lies that and the visions that Satan has caused in the church has been over the Holy Spirit. And so today, I make this promise to you. How many people here today think that when it comes to a hot topic like this, it's very important that we stick to Scripture? How many think that's a good thing? That's a good thing every week. But more importantly, even now, when we talk about a subject that many of us have different viewpoints on, I make this commitment to you. We will look what the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. We'll dissect it and understand it and apply it to our life. And that's all I'm going to ask you to do. So all I'm asking you to do is say, Pastor, I want to believe the Bible. Okay? How many think that's not a hard thing to do, okay? I'm asking you, I want to believe the Bible, and I want to have everything that Jesus says that I can have for my life. And so we're going to get into this thought of who is the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to answer the question, who is He? Who is the Holy Spirit? I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you inside your heart. I say this, that the Holy Spirit has become my best friend. Let me tell you that again. The Holy Spirit has become my best friend. And let me tell you that when I say become my best friend, I mean it was something that happened over a period of time. Just as you develop a relationship with a best friend over years of having trust and listening and being there for each other and hearing their direction in your life and hearing their support for your life, it takes time to build solid relationships. I will tell you that if you will learn to trust and learn to hear the voice and learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you'll get up every day saying, the Holy Spirit is my best friend. It is leading me. Because the Holy Spirit will tell me when to talk and what to say. The Holy Spirit will tell me, sometimes don't say what I want to say. How many know sometimes that's more important than what I got to say, is learning not to say what I want to say. Sometimes we could just stop saying what we were going to say, we would save ourselves a lot of trouble. And the Holy Spirit, when you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, many times it will quicken you in your heart and say, don't say that. You learn that when you're married over time. Some things you just don't say, right? We learn this. The Holy Spirit is the same way. You'll learn over time, the Holy Spirit will say, don't say that. You'll save yourself a lot of trouble at work if you'll just keep your mouth shut. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, give you power to do things beyond who you thought you could be, to be the witness that God is calling you to be. So today we're going to get into this introduction of who is the Holy Spirit? What is this role? Let me say this. The Holy Spirit is the original GPS. How many like GPSs? I mean, I can tell you guys, we don't like GPSs. We don't need no stinking GPSs, man. We can do this thing. You know, you ever use a GPS and it doesn't work for you? I can remember one time I was using a GPS. I was in Dallas, Texas, and I was meeting some guys after a conference. We were heading to a steakhouse, and they're like, hey, you know where we're going? Oh, yeah, I've got it covered. I had a GPS, you know. I'm like, I'll meet you there. I know my way around this place. So I get in, put the name of the steakhouse, and the closest one, pick it. That's where it's supposed to be. And I drive there. When I get there, it's nowhere around, okay? And, you know, I can't find the place. I'm driving every block close to it. I'm thinking, it's got to be around here somewhere. It's not, I mean, I drove every square block around within a mile's radius of each way and did not find this particular steakhouse. And I was like, this GPS, this lied to me. It is not where it said it was. It may have been there at one time, but it is not there now. And so, let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit will not lie to you. The Holy Spirit will not misguide you. The Holy Spirit will learn, if you learn to be sensitive and hear what it's saying, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you better than any GPS. It will guide you in every day of your life. In my life, we've got to learn to open up our heart and say, Holy Spirit, What are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, what is your direction for my life? Holy Spirit, what is your purpose? So who is he? Let's define it. How many think that probably the best person who's ever walked the earth to teach about the Holy Spirit would be Jesus? Well, you think that's pretty important. So let's find out what Jesus has to say about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 16, we find out here this is happening at the Last Supper. Judas has already betrayed Jesus, and he's left, he's ran out, and now Jesus, knowing that he's getting ready to be crucified in the next hours to come, that even though his disciples didn't realize what was happening, he knew that he was getting ready to be crucified, and his time with them was coming closely to an end. So he's preparing them for what was going to come next. And so these are the words that he says here in John 14, 15, and 16. In John 14, let's pick it up in verse 16 to 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. And we know the word helper here is many times what Jesus is using here is translated to the Holy Spirit. We know he's talking about the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that more. That he may abide with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you, talking to his disciples, he's like, you're going to be in the upper room. That's what he's telling them. You're going to be in the upper room. You're going to see something. But you're going to know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. This is an awesome scripture because what he's saying is this, that, man, there's something going to happen. Look what he says in verses 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, see, he just defined it. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. It's amazing that when you follow the Holy Spirit, that even though you can't remember where you parked your car 30 minutes ago at Walmart, that you can remember something in a message that happened 2 months ago where you're talking to a friend, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will bring, when you allow it, the Holy Spirit will bring back something, an example, an illustration, a word, and you'll say, you know what? I remember our pastor talking about this, and I remember being taught, God really wants to help you in this area. And you'll speak it, and you're like, how did I remember that? That was the Holy Spirit coming through you, bringing back remembrance of all things that's being taught of Scripture. It's amazing that things will happen. We're not very good maybe about memorizing things and not knowing things, but I tell you, when you get on the spot and you need to know it, when your heart is yielded to the Holy Spirit, things will come out of you that you didn't realize was hidden there. God will use things that he's put already inside you to come alive and to speak. Look what he says again in John chapter 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Three times we see the word helper used again. Look in John 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, if it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. See, this is what's happening here, is this, that right now everything's been confined to Jesus. And so the multitude is following Jesus. The miracles are happening around the multitude. They're following Jesus, and Jesus is performing all these miracles and teachings, and the gospel's being spread through Jesus. But Jesus says, listen, I'm only one person. Yes, I'm God, the Son here, you know, and I'm Jesus, but you don't realize it's to your advantage that I leave, because when I leave, I'm no longer going to allow my spirit to be confined to a temple where only the priests can experience it, but I'm going to break the veil of the temple and allow the Holy Spirit to be rest upon every Christian and every believer. He goes, I'm going to empower them with my Holy Spirit. So he says, it's to your advantage that I leave, that my spirit can be released. And then the gospel is going to spread out all across the world. And you're going to walk in new power. You're going to walk in new direction. You're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit for your life. It's going to be released for those who receive it. So he says it's important that I leave. Look what he says in verses 12 and 13 of this same chapter. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So four times we see here where Jesus talks about the Spirit of the Helper. That is, the word helper translates here to the word Parakletos, which basically means the word comforter. Now, how many can remember when you first got married? Anybody here married, remember when you first got married? Guys, you're going to relate to this story. I remember when we first got married, my wife and I first got married. By the way, today's my wife's birthday. Can you tell her happy birthday? Yeah. And when we first got married, we were just happy to have any furniture that was given to us, you know, and you remember anything you could get, hand-me-downs, you were just great. You're just glad to have your own place and just to be married. And I remember we had a comforter that was given to us, and it was so thin that when you turned the lights on, you could see your toes in the body. You know what I'm talking about? We had maybe the cotton was just about as thin as a Q-tip in there, you know, and so it wasn't much, but it was ours, and we were happy. And one day, I remember after we were married for a while, she says, "Hey, can I go buy a new comforter?" I'm like, "Yeah, whatever, honey, whatever you want, whatever makes you happy." Because I learned that a happy wife makes a happy life. Yes, okay, we know this principle to be true. Happy wife, happy life. And so whatever, honey, you want to do, sure, go get it. And so she came home, and of course, after I didn't realize this, that we had to take out a second mortgage to pay for these comforters, realizing how expensive they were, and after I got off in shock and realizing how expensive those things really were, she came home, and I'm like, you know, we put it on her bed, it looks nice and pretty, and okay, this is cool. And so I come to grips, we just spent a fortune on a comforter, but it's okay, because my wife is happy, and so that's the main thing. And so she's happy. And so I get ready to go to bed that night, and as I get ready to go to bed, the comforter is not on our bed. I'm like, "What happened to our new comforter?" And she goes, "Duh." She's like, "The comforter is not to use. It's just for looks. We're not going to sleep on it. It's only for looks. We put it on there, and when we get up in the morning and make our bed, then we take it off before we go to bed. Or when company comes over, we put it on. But it's not for us to use. It's for looks." And I realized quickly, this wasn't just for comforters. We had towels in my house that I couldn't use. I take a shower, come out, there's a brand new towel right there, big and fluffy. I want to use this towel. "What are you doing using that towel?" I don't know. It's on the towel rack. "Now, you can use that towel, but I can't use that towel. This is for you to use when you come over, not for me to use when I'm there." It's taken me 20 years almost to get this principle down, but I'm finally getting the comprehension of this. Comforter is for you. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Any guys relate to what I'm saying today, you understand? Ladies, you relate to what I'm saying? If guys could just realize this early on, this would save us a lot of trouble and headache that first year of marriage. We just realized, you know, comforters are for looks, not for use. But see, the bad part about this is really this translates into our own life today, because many of us had the same view of the comforter in our Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is for looks, not for use. "Oh, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that he's there, but it's not for me to use in my everyday life. It's not for me to use. It's not practical for everyday use. It's just something that's kind of there. I believe in it. He's there. Hallelujah. All right. God the Father and Trinity, we sing it once in a while, and we were there. You know, I believe in it, but it's not really something for me to use in my everyday life." And that's really one of the lies that Satan wants you and I to believe, is that the Holy Spirit is not for your everyday life, because he really is. He's there. He says he's there to lead us and to guide us and to teach us all things that Jesus is wanting us to know. So the comforter is for us to use, not just for looks. So let's get into it. He is my helper. Number one, he is my helper. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's my helper. He tells me what to say and what not to say. Look what John 16:8-9 says. "And when he has come," talking about the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world of what? Of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me." Now, let me tell you this. We can look right here and find out the definition of the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says this is the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, that the Holy Spirit is supposed to come and convict the world of sin. So this is what I'm saying to you. Even before you were a Christian, the Holy Spirit was speaking to you. Do you realize that? Even before you were a Christian, the Holy Spirit was speaking to you. So how much more is he speaking to you now that you are a Christian? How much more does he want to speak to you now? Because it says here that the job of the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit, was to convict the world of our sin.
And then, so what happens? We're convicted of our sin. We realize that we need a Savior, that I need to repent of my sin. I need to give my heart to Jesus. That's what happens. The Holy Spirit is convicting you when you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus today. I'm raising my hand. I want to pray that prayer of salvation. That's the Holy Spirit convicting your heart, moving you to a place of salvation. That's the first role of the Holy Spirit. It convicts us and moves us. But look what it says here. But after that, it still has a role in our life. It convicts us of what? Righteousness. Now, we know righteousness is right standing with God. When we talk about the word righteousness, it is defined as right standing with God. And this is where I see a lot of people misinterpreting the Scripture, is they use the word convict, and they don't understand the true meaning of the word convict. Because the word convict, when you translate it out, it also means to convince. You see, it convinces me. That convinces the world of its sin. It convinces me that I need a Savior. It convinces me that I cannot go to heaven unless I repent. It convinces me that I can't make it on my own, that I must surrender my life to Jesus. But once I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I step into His righteousness, it's the Holy Spirit's job now to continue to convince me that I'm in right standing with the Savior. See, we've got our roles so much messed up with the Holy Spirit because we realize that, all right, it convicts me of my sin, and then once I accept Jesus, then if we're not careful, we'll live in condemnation and not realize that He's wanting us to live in righteousness. And righteousness says that through grace, I have been put into right standing with God the Father. With grace, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that I can accept His righteousness, and His righteousness has been given to me. And I can stand not on my own merit, but I can stand before the Father saying, God, I've got a lot of sin in my past, but because I accepted Your Son, Jesus Christ, I am now been made righteous. And He doesn't judge me according to my sin. He judges me according to the righteousness of His Son, because I stand in the favor of His Son. And so the Holy Spirit, this is why it's important. When I develop a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit, it will convince me that I'm right standing with Jesus Christ. It will convince me that I'm in right standing. Yes, it tells me that, hey, I need to let go of sin in my life. Yes, it tells me that I need to stop doing things in my life, letting go of addiction, letting go of things in my life. It also, it convinces me that my sins have been forgiven as far as the east is from the west. That He will not remember them no more. See, when the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, He's speaking to me words of encouragement. He's speaking to me that I have been made right as a child of God. This is why it's important. He convicts me of my sin. I give my heart to Jesus. And then He convinces me of my righteousness. He reminds me of my righteousness. And then He, what? He convinces me and convicts me of the judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. Now, we see here where this word, conviction of the judgment of sin. Let's look it up in John 16:11. As we keep reading this, it says, He convinces them what? The Holy Spirit of what? Judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. Let's look at the Gospels and see how this collates in 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world, we know as Satan, will be what? Cast out. Talking about the rule of this world, 14:30 as well. He says, for the rule of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. So we know when he's talking about convincing of the judgment of the prince of this world, the rule of this world, he's talking about Satan. And he's reminding us of this, that the Holy Spirit's job is to remind you and I that Satan has already been judged. Now this is big, okay? This is really huge for you and I, because when the Holy Spirit reminds you that Satan has already been judged, that he has been released. Listen, he's been released on this earth right now, but he's already been judged. And his judgment is this, that at the end time, that God's going to kick him and all the rest of his demon followers are going to be what? Kicked into a lake of fire. Hell is real. If you don't believe it, I'll just tell you, it's real. It's a real place. It's a real place. Don't sugarcoat that at all. It's a real place. And he says, Satan has been already judged to spend eternity in hell. You and I have not. We have the ability to get back into right standing with God. I can't make that decision for you. You got to make that own decision. But we all have that ability to say, God, I want to get back into your righteousness. I don't want to follow the judgment of the one of the prince of this world. But knowing this, that after I have been convinced that I need a Savior, and then I'm convinced that, you know what, I've been made in right standing with God, then I'm convinced that the prince of this world has already been judged, therefore he has no authority in my life. We just spent 3 weeks talking about a spiritual authority. And so this should really hit home with you. And so when I'm following the lead of the Holy Spirit, I'm repenting, coming back into right relationship with the Father. And then it's convincing me that I have been made righteous through grace. And then it's reminding me that when Satan says that you can't do this and I'm going to do this, that, you know what, Satan, you have no authority in my life because you've already been judged and condemned. That's right. Good to go on a hand clap. That's a good thing right there. Realizing your spiritual authority. That comes when we unlock the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. So long we've heard people say that the Holy Spirit's job is just to convict us. And that you're a sinner. And that you're not living right. And God's going to get you. That's our viewpoint of the Holy Spirit. God's going to get you, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict you, and you're going to... That's not all the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, yes, convicts me that I am a sinner, but it also convinces me that I've been made righteous when I do accept Jesus. And then it convinces me and says, you know what? Satan's already been judged. You don't have to live under his authority in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've been called. You've been called to be fishers of men. So you have not been called to clean the fish. How many are glad you haven't been called to clean the fish? I remember growing up, my dad, who's here today, Dad, it's good to see you. My mom and dad are here, and my aunt and uncle are here. It's good to have you guys today. Give them a hand clap. You guys are here coming through town. My dad would take me fishing, and we would, you know, be fishing at the end of the day. He'd come and get me and say, all right, it's time to clean the fish. And I hated cleaning the fish. Oh, you know, because we get there and he had an electric knife and he cut right down the back of that head to the spine and down the stomach liner and flip it over and then cut down the tail skin and he'd flop it over to me and make me cut out the rib cage. And so we're there, you know, by the time 30 minutes has passed by, we got a big pile of fish guts and got fish eyes looking at you flopping around with no guts inside. How many know that it stinketh when you clean fish, okay? It's a stinking thing. It stinks bad. And so it's not a fun job. But you know what? So many times in the church, we've adopted the mentality that it's our job to clean up the fish. Our job is to catch the fish. And our job is to bring the power of the Holy Spirit into our services so that people are convicted and convinced that God's got a better life for them. I don't have to get up with a Bible and thump them in the head. If I'll just set myself on fire, people want to come and watch me burn. If I'll get a hold of the Holy Spirit and say, you know what? God has changed my life, and he's taken me to a new place. He's changed my marriage. He's changed my children. He's changed my finances. He's changed my addiction. He's changed my attitude. He's changed my health. People say, I want to change too. I want to come, and I want to go. I want to come my addiction. I want to come over here to this church. If we'll love people and quit trying to change them and let God change them and say, God, we want your Holy Spirit to be here in such a powerful way that when every sinner walks through this door, they know that, God, you love them and that you're convicting them. My job is not to clean the fish. My job is to catch the fish and allow the Holy Spirit to clean them. Somebody say amen. All right. That didn't cost you anything today. That was free. One of the most exciting things as a pastor is when I'm at Walmart or at the ball field, and this happens all the time. My wife would tell you this happens often with us. People will come up and say, Pastor, you don't know me, but we've been coming to your church for a while, and you know what? I just want you to know I'm changing some things in my life. I've stopped doing this, and I've given up this addiction. And my girlfriend and I, we were living together, and we decided we're going to get married. And all these things, people coming together, and did I go to them and say, you got to stop doing this, and you got to stop doing that? No, we just love people. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We allow the Holy Spirit to come in, and the Holy Spirit convicts, and they're changing. So how do we want to change people? Let's increase the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Let's increase the power of the Holy Spirit in our services. You want to change a community? Let's allow the Holy Spirit to come and set us on fire so that people will come and be changed with the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit. They're not going to change because we're telling them they got to change. They're going to change when they see God changing us and that we're loving them for who they are. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to move us to a greater call that we can see His Spirit released. Number two, He's my friend, and He's not weird. It is good. The Holy Spirit's my friend, and He's not weird. We've all seen people who act weird. And let me tell you this. Now, I just tell you, sometimes the Holy Spirit will have you do things out of your comfort zone. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will have you do things that don't make you comfortable. And I'm not talking about that at all. But we all know people who are just over-extreme, weird people. And then they say, I'm this way because the Holy Spirit made me this way. Let me tell you this. Weird people are weird because they're weird. Don't blame it on the Holy Spirit. They're just some weird people. We got a lot of, you got a weird pastor. There's a lot of weird people in this church. Great. All right. That's great. But let's don't blame it on the Holy Spirit. Let's just say we're weird sometimes, okay? We're different. It's all right to say that. But the Holy Spirit's not weird. It's something we can accept and embrace. And sometimes when I'm following and leading the Holy Spirit, it's going to move me out of my comfort zone. There's going to be times He asks me to do things that I've never done before. There's been times the Holy Spirit asked me to do things I wasn't really comfortable with, but I did them because I knew I had to be obedient. And when I did that thing, it unlocked the very breakthrough I was praying about. And sometimes God stretches us and the Holy Spirit moves us. And I'm not talking about manifestations of the Holy Spirit, okay? Do not get me wrong. And we'll talk more about that as we get deeper into this series. But I'm talking about so long we've stereotyped this and heard the stereotype of weird people. See, I believe Satan wants to do everything he can to divide us and make us afraid of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you four benefits of the Holy Spirit really fast. Write these down. There's four benefits of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the power. Those who have the Holy Spirit operate in power. He says, we shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power to what? To be His witness. So there is a new power to be the Christ follower, to be His witness that He's wanting to give you when you accept the Holy Spirit. The love. There's a new power to love like you've never experienced before. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, hey man, you can walk around using all the gifts of the Spirit you want. You can prophesy. You can do all these things. But if you ain't got love, you don't have anything. So he says, you want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? This is what he's saying, basically. You better walk in love first. So the Holy Spirit empowers me to love in a way I never loved before. The Holy Spirit empowers me to love people who I haven't loved before. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in my life. The fruit of the Spirit will come evident when I'm walking in the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit also has gifts of the Spirit, which we'll get into later. We talk about the gifts that come along with the gifts of the Spirit. So there's a lot here. But this is a problem. Let's just be honest. Can we just be honest? Turn to your neighbor and say, Pastor, please be honest. I'm glad you asked me to be honest. Let's be honest. The real division over the Holy Spirit and the church is that Satan has taken one thing and taken it and ran with it and scooted it out there and caused the church to be divided. It's the gift of speaking in tongues. It's the prayer language that He has for us. He's taking us and He's allowed denominations to divide over it. He's allowed the churches to divide over it. And some churches say, don't talk about the Holy Spirit. Don't do this. These people might act weird. All these things that happened. And what it's doing is Satan sitting back and laughing, going, I'm doing exactly what I want to happen. I want the church to be ineffective. I want the church not to walk in its fullest potential. And so this is what I'm telling you. We're going to look at Scripture. I'm going to spend a whole message on the gift of our prayer language and the gift of speaking in tongues and what that actually means. Is it relevant for your life? And if it is relevant, who can receive it? Who can't? We'll look at that question and see who is it for and what is this purpose in our life and what's this power in our life. And so I just guarantee we're not going to do anything to freak you out, but we're just going to look at the gospel and present it and allow you to say, you know what? God, I'm opening myself up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to, so don't allow Satan to cause you to put a wall up because maybe you have a question mark right there. Okay? That's what Satan wants you to do. And he's done it too long in the church. We've got to tear down those walls of resistance and say, you know what? I've got to learn to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life and everything in my life. And the last point is, he's my God. Really, the Holy Spirit is my God. We've got to realize he is the third person of God, the Godhead, the Trinity. You've heard the word used, Trinity. Some people like to argue, is he really three gods or is it one God? Is it, you know, is this, what is it? Let's just look at Scripture, okay? I'm not going to give you my opinion. Let's look at Scripture. Look what John 14:26 says. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, okay? What do we just read there? That there is a Holy Spirit, and there is a Father, and who's my name? Jesus. So Jesus says there's the Holy Spirit, and there's the Father, and then there's me, okay? What he said? Jesus said there's the Spirit, Holy Spirit, there's the Father, and then there's me. Let's look at another scripture, Luke 3:22. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Jesus is being baptized. It says the Holy Spirit descended in his bodily form like a dove upon Jesus. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. So we have the Holy Spirit descending in bodily form upon who? Upon Jesus. And the voice came from who? God the Father. We see all three being represented here in this verse. All three are being represented. Look at Matthew 28:19. He says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If it was important that all three were separate, that he would say, just go ahead and baptize them in the name of the Father. Let it be done. But no, he wants that we could clarify that there is Godhead. Yes, there is one Godhead, but they are three separate beings who are sent as a triune God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So, when you hear somebody tell you, be careful of people who talk about the Holy Spirit. If you hear a church tell you, be careful of churches who talk about the Holy Spirit, what they're saying is this, be careful of churches who talk about God. They're saying, be careful of churches who talk about Jesus. Because you can't separate one from the other. Okay? So we got to realize this is not nothing to be afraid of. But this is something we say, I want to embrace all of it. And I can tell you this, every time I've taught this series, I have people who come to me and say, you know what? I knew there was more. I was gypped. I've been gypped, man. I feel like I've been gypped. I'm so glad to hear somebody finally speak the truth about the gospel. I want to learn everything there is about the Holy Spirit in my life. We don't have to be fearful of it. But we can embrace it. Say, God, yeah, you left it for a reason. God, you've given to us for a reason. I want to accept it. He is our God. As our musicians are coming this morning. The question is this. Are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to be a comforter that we say, yeah, I believe in. I know the Holy Spirit's there, but it's for look. It's not for use. Are we going to embrace the Holy Spirit and say, boy, I'm ready to embrace everything that God has for my life. I'm ready to embrace everything the Holy Spirit has for my life. I want you to walk full of power. I want you to walk full of hope. I want you to walk and be the best witness that God's calling you to be. I want you to walk with that GPS going on in your heart. Your Holy Spirit's leading you and guiding you. One of the most exciting things as a pastor is I hear people tell me all the time, Pastor, I never really listened to the Holy Spirit before, but I think that he's speaking to me about doing this, and he's leading me, and I did it, and it was right. You see the light coming on in their head, like, yeah, you're right. It will lead me, and it will direct me, and it will give me peace, and it will reveal what God's Word's saying. It's amazing as I preach a message like this morning that I could ask 10 people what they got out of this message, and all 10 will say something totally different. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit's translating to your heart exactly what you need to hear. The Holy Spirit's going to pull points out exactly what you need that morning. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? But the Holy Spirit will do that in our life. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet this morning. How many today say, Pastor,
I'm ready to experience everything the Holy Spirit has for my life. Right now, could you raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. I'm ready. I just want, in this series, I want to open up my heart to the Holy Spirit in a new and real way. I want God to change me. I want Him to empower me. That's what I want you to do. We're going to start off this series by just coming down to the front as a sign of declaration of unity to God. We're opening up our heart to everything that you have for us. I want to invite you to join me around the front here this morning. We're going to close with this song. And as we come together around the front today, we're going to lift our hands and we're going to say this prayer. We're going to sing this song. It simply says, God, I'm giving my life away to you. I'm surrendering my heart to you. I want you to imagine you're giving yourself away to the Holy Spirit. Say, God, I'm giving myself away to you to use me. Anyway, Holy Spirit, you can use me anyway. Let's sing it together and declare in our hearts. Spread it close, guys. Come on in, look close. Make room for those coming in. Spread them around. There you go.
Give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your
to you. My life
our hands raised one more time. We say we surrender our life to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray over the next 6 weeks, God, as we dive into the Scripture, may you reveal your Holy Spirit to us in a real and tangible way. God, I pray for those people who maybe had their heart, Lord, and have been embedded in their heart, Lord, as they resistance to the Holy Spirit. I pray their heart begins to soften even now. That God, our hearts will be open. That God, we want to walk in everything, every blessing, every promise, every power that you have for our life. God, we want to walk in that. And God, it comes with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we learn to give our life in submission. So, Lord, with submission today, we say we give our life to the Holy Spirit. May it lead us. May it direct us. May it fill us. May it baptize us. May it overflow in our life. The power of the Holy Spirit running true in my life. Father, I pray to God, you're going to give us a new revelation. You're going to give us a fresh anointing. You're going to give us a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our life. God, we believe that over the next 6 weeks, that God, a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit is going to come to those that are hungry, to those that are seeking. That God, you're going to fill our heart. You're going to fill our life today with a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. So put your hand over your heart right now and say, God, right now, may my heart be open. May my heart be open to receive all that the Holy Spirit says to me. May I receive everything the Holy Spirit has for me in my family, in my life, and I give my life to you. Now, if you believe that today, put your hands together and say, God, I believe that today. Come on.
Myself away.
One more time, sing this chorus.
So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away.
Listen to me. You don't want to miss any week, okay? Every week is going to build off of the next sermon, off of the next lesson that we do. So make sure you plan on being here. If you know somebody that has questions about the Holy Spirit, this is a great time to get them here. Get the door and say, hey, man, come in here. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. It'll answer a lot of your questions, all right? Turn to somebody. Around 4 or 5 people, shake their hand, give them a high five, say, man, it was good to be in church with you. If you haven't signed up for the marriage retreat, go back and sign up before you leave today. God bless you. Thank you.